The game is over. Your Bucks postgame show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk. Insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Well, another sign that this team, your Milwaukee Bucks, continues to move in the right direction and continues to develop and build chemistry, the ever elusive chemistry we've talked about would be a process and take time. This team continues to take some of those steps in the right direction, and tonight was one of those. As on the surface, you may look at this and say, well, they beat the Houston Rockets. But as we mentioned on the pregame show and all throughout the broadcast, this is a much, much better Houston Rockets team than they were a season ago and for the past few seasons, ever since the James Harden era, for that matter. Their new coach, Ime Udoka, has this team playing very gritty, physical, tough-nosed basketball. They have been one of the best defenses in the league all season long. They've added the right mix of veterans to complement a very, very young roster they had coming into the season, and the results have been there. They are currently a playoff team in the Western Conference. They are a younger team, and this was night two of a back-to-back for the Bucks, and they answered the challenge against a Rockets team that gave them a fight tonight at Fiserv Forum. 855-616-1620 is the Old National Bank talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk as this team opens up their six-game homestand, winning the first four games. And look, you're going to be favored in the final two games of this homestand as well. One of those you absolutely should win, and that is Tuesday against Victor Wembanyama and the San Antonio Spurs. We will take a closer look at that matchup just a bit later on in this show. And the other one, very similar in some ways to that game against the Indiana Pacers earlier this week, where you face an Orlando Magic team that took care of you on the road. And that was, again, earlier in the season when this team wasn't at the state they are now in terms of developing that chemistry, gel, if we want to use that word, starting to gel much more. And they were without Damian Lillard in that game. Offensively, the results continue to speak for themselves, but defensively, we touched on this a little bit last night, you're seeing subtle signs of growth. And if we point to those games since November 3rd, when Brook Lopez was shifted back to the drop position, this defense has been much improved. They're right around 13th, 14th in the league defensively in those games played since then. And there's not a whole lot of separation between a 10 through 15 in that time frame. So realistically, this is a defense that has shown signs of getting better and is within striking distance of saying, hey, since November 3rd, which isn't all that small of a sample size considering Bucks had just played four games prior to then, since November 3rd, we're not that far away from being a top 10 defense. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We'll take a closer look at some of those numbers and get to your thoughts next on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Bucks take care of the Rockets tonight at Fiserv Forum. They're 4-0 now on this six-game homestand. And again, Victor Wembanyama and the Houston Rockets, your next opponent on Tuesday. And then the Orlando Magic wrap up this homestand on Thursday. So I mentioned some of those numbers and some of the growth that we have seen from this Bucks team since November 3rd. After the first four games of the season, that fourth game was the game where the defense looked its most lost and the most head-scratching was taking place. The Bucks were 2-2. The Toronto Raptors just boat raced them, led start to finish, and embarrassed the Bucks. After that, as Adrian Griffin said, the players approached him, several players approached him, and said, look, we need Brook Lopez closer to the basket. That helps our team, that helps our defense. It'll utilize Brook Lopez to his fullest abilities. We got to find a way to push Brook Lopez closer to the basket, closer to that drop defense that we played a season ago. And from that point forward, The Bucks have now played 22 games. They're 17-5. Their 17 wins since November 3rd is tied for the most in the league with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Those are the only two teams that have won 17 games since that date. The Bucks currently have an offensive rating of 121.9 in those games. That is 0.6 of a point behind the Philadelphia 76ers, who have a 122.5 rating. And it's 1.6 points behind the Indiana Pacers, who are number one with a 123.5 rating. So third in offense, their defensive rating is 115, which is 14th in the league. So just slightly better than league average. And as we've mentioned a couple of times here, if your defense can be average, just a little bit better than average even, you figure this offense has the makings to continue to be elite, and that can be the unit that wins it for you. Our defense keeps us in games. Our offense wins those games. 14th in defensive rating in those games played since then. That's right in line with the Miami Heat, who have a 114.8 rating, and the Denver Nuggets, who have a 114.6 rating. And again, Denver is the team that you would point to as the biggest parallel from a season ago to say this was a team whose defense improved throughout the playoffs. They certainly had some good individual defenders. When you think of the likes of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and what he brought to the team, Aaron Gordon as well, being basically the Swiss Army knife of that unit. But that was a defense that got better as the playoffs progressed. They were basically in the same spot. League average-ish, just a little bit better than league average. And their offense was elite. They had the best player in the league in Nikola Jokic. They had Jamal Murray fully back. Their offense could take and make tough shots down the stretch. Their half-court offense was good enough to do the rest. That's the spot that the Bucks have put themselves in. And statistically speaking, that's the company that they're keeping. You continue to see some of these signs of growth. One of the other big things is I mentioned Fred VanVleet and what he did tonight. The leading scorer for the Houston Rockets with 22 points. And look, the Houston Rockets are not a great offensive team. They have some struggles there. They have won primarily with their defense this season. And that's part of how they shaped the roster. They wanted to bring in tough, defensive-minded players, physical players, to fit the style that Ime Udoka likes to play. Very similar to what he did in Boston. He talked about this a little bit before the game, too. One of the big reasons why he came to Houston, when he was asked about that, why did you choose the Houston Rockets? Because think about when Ime Udoka took that, it was very, very early in the process, took that job with the Rockets. It was before the Bucks job opened up. It was before the 76ers job opened up. Jobs that you could argue, these are better jobs, or at least in terms of win-now potential. But as Ime Udoka said, the reason I went to Houston was I knew we had cap space. I knew we would immediately be a player there. I knew we had young players. I knew we had a lot of draft picks. We had a lot of assets. And I could play a role in our player personnel free agency that we went through over the summer. I could hand pick some of these guys, work with our front office, but I had a say in what we were targeting with some of that cap space. Fred VanVleet. I wanted a guy that could help organize us, run the offense, a veteran that would bring that presence on and off the floor. They flirted hard with Brook Lopez. And again, the defensive aspect, he would have fit right in there with Ime Udoka. And then Dylan Brooks is another guy. When you think about Ime Udoka and his physicality as a player, his no-nonsense approach as a head coach, think about Dylan Brooks as well and what he brings to the team. It's a much better Houston Rockets team. But I get back to the point score there. 22 from Fred VanVleet. It's been a long time, or it feels like such a long time ago, I should say, that we were talking about this Bucks defense. And the first two or three weeks of the season, when we would go one by one through some of those individual performances that the backcourts put up against the Bucks. You think about what Jalen Brunson did. You think about early in the season, Tyrese Halliburton. You think about Trae Young in that second game of the season. The Miami Heat had a number of players going off Duncan Robinson hitting threes again that first weekend. Tyrese Maxey with a huge game on opening night. That has massively slowed down in these last few weeks. And that's not to say that Damian Lillard is a defensive stopper or Malik Beasley. But this team has been much more connected, much more comfortable with the systems that they're playing. And in turn, that has slowed down some of those individual outbursts. When you think about some of those blow-bys that put all that pressure on Brooke Lopez, Giannis, whoever it is on the floor protecting the rim, those have drastically minimized as well. As we kept telling you, it's not going to change overnight. You're not going to snap your fingers and all of a sudden the Bucks are one of the five best defenses in the league. It's going to take time. It's going to be a process. But I think we're starting to see that process unfold. 855-616-1620 is the Old National Bank talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. I do want to take a look at some of those numbers from Giannis. I mentioned a couple of things that stood out about his efficiency and this stretch that he has been on of late. We'll take a look at that and, again, preview that matchup with Victor Wembanyama and the San Antonio Spurs after this on Bucks Talk.
The Round Ball Repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Bucks take care of the Houston Rockets tonight at Fiserv Forum and improve to 19-7 now on the season with this victory. And again, they start this six-game homestand with four straight wins, 128-119. We just went over the updates and some of the numbers here for the Bucks metrics this season, and especially in those games played since November 3rd when they made those shifts on their defense with Brooke Lopez back towards the basket. Third best offense, 14th in defensive rating. You can live with that when your offense has been elite, and that's what the Bucks have gotten from this offensive group. And fourth best in net rating at 6.9. So they've been making those strides forward. And look, the other thing I'll point out before we do get to some calls here is, you know, we mentioned pushing Brooke Lopez back towards the basket. And that was not something that Adrian Griffin thought his defense would be utilizing. He had a blueprint for the defense that he wanted to play. We heard about it when he was hired, a more high-pressure scheme that they were going to run, similar to a lot of things that we saw in Toronto through the years. We've started to see a little bit more of that, too. When you think about today, especially, the team you're playing is going to dictate a lot of that. And I think this Rockets team that isn't a great shooting team, they have some offensive issues that they're working through as well. They don't have a lot of knockdown shooters. And you could see at times during this game, Bucks did not fear a lot of their shooters. But still, we've seen now the last week or so more and more examples of the Bucks blitzing the ball handler, putting a lot more pressure out there on the ball at the point of attack. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phones and talk with Milt in Portage. What's going on tonight, Milt?
Yeah, hey, a couple observations from tonight's game, which I think is a key going to be to our success this year, was second chance points. We did a better job on the defensive rebounding, which, you know, the other night against Indiana, I think that kind of, you know, kept them around in the ballgame. And then, you know, offensively, I think there's just a little bit more cohesion, you know, sharing the ball. You know, we had a couple bad turnovers, but there wasn't as many as we've had, you know, in the last few games. So I think everybody is, you know, how you were talking, kind of getting a feel for each other. You know, that's basically it. Go Bucks.
Yeah, they did. We talked about this a little bit. Thanks for the call. They did a better job protecting the ball tonight, the Bucks did. 17 turnovers, a lot of that started to come late. And that was the same as we saw yesterday, too, when I think it was one turnover in the first quarter. They did a very good job of taking care of the little things against an inferior opponent and not giving them that new lease on life that we've seen so many times. We talked about this a little bit on the pregame show, too. It was the Portland Trail Blazers were a team that did a good job in terms of where they get their offense in transition. And the Bucks allowed the Blazers to not only stay in the game, but to build up a 26-point lead because they were turning the ball over. Portland was scoring in transition. They weren't rebounding the basketball. Portland was, and they were attacking the offensive glass and getting second-chance points. Those are areas you have to win. when you're playing an inferior opponent. You cannot give them any type of edge because that breeds and instills confidence. Before you know it, threes start falling as well. So it was imperative last night, and I think it was especially imperative tonight against a better team, but one that is not known for their offense. Now, I do agree the Bucks certainly did a much better job on the defensive glass tonight. I think they finished with, I think we said it was an 83% defensive rebounding rate. And even on the offensive glass, that's what stood out the most to me. They had 16 offensive rebounds. They turned those into 22 second chance points. And they had an offensive rebounding rate that was nearly 40%. So just for context, if you got anything that's 30% or better rebounding rates on the offensive glass, that's pretty good. You're going to be towards the top of the league. 75, 78, somewhere around there, that's pretty good defensively as well. And again, Bucks close to 40% on the offensive glass, over 80% on the defensive glass. The defensive rebounding component, you don't look a gift horse in the mouth, but this is also a Houston Rockets team that they're not great on the offensive glass, and that's by design. They're very, very good at defending transition, and the reason for that is because they're willing to concede defensive rebounds in order to get back on the defensive end and prevent you from scoring quickly and scoring in transition. So it's one of those things that Ime Udoka is willing to live with. Look, we're not going to be one of the best. I think they're right around the middle of the pack in offensive rebounding, but we're going to get back on defense, and we're not going to allow the opponent to score after that defensive rebound. But having said that, the Bucks still took care of business. And that's one area we haven't necessarily seen them do that, even when they've been playing inferior opponents when it comes to their rebounding ability throughout the course of this season. 855-616-1620, the old National Bank talk and text line to join us tonight. Let's head back to the phones and talk with Will I Am in Milwaukee. What's going on tonight, Will?
Justin, what's going on, man? Hey, three quick ones for you. Like you said, if we're going to blitz like we do on defense and we're going to crash the rebounds, even if we try one-third of the time, like you were talking about previously here, we're going to be a team of problems. Again, the progression of our team has looked great, and I really am encouraged by us wanting to crash the boards. Again, it is the Rockets, but wanting to crash the boards, wanting to get in the paint and get that, where early in the season, you know, people take a jump shot. You know, no one's trying to crash the board. So tonight was a nice little step up. My next point I want to make is Bobby and Dame in the third quarter, man. That's a nice little combo I didn't think I'd be seeing. Being able to watch them just dominate going back and forth is just, you know, something special. You know, I got to enjoy the little moments. And speaking of another good moment, I wonder if Giannis got to keep this basketball for the rebounds. What do you think, Justin?
Well, thanks for the call. And Adrian Griffin cracked a joke in his postgame presser saying we did get the basketball this time. So Giannis should have that. And look, we haven't spent nearly enough time discussing Giannis overall, not just what he did tonight, because this is one of those rare games where Giannis was not efficient. It had been almost 20 games since Giannis had shot less than 50% from the field in a game. The last time that happened was in that win against the Detroit Pistons. And that, yeah, I guess you would add an asterisk too, because that was one of those games Giannis didn't play the full game. He was ejected on a second technical foul in that one. But that was the last time Giannis had a game played where he did not shoot 50% or better from the field. He had a streak of eight consecutive games having shot 60% or better. And in three of those eight games, he shot 70% or better. So we talked about this quite a bit on a number of shows already this week, that he has been incredibly efficient so far this season. But tonight was one of those nights that just wasn't his night. The Rockets really made him work and showed him a lot of different coverages, especially in the second half. And this was another one of those rarities where Giannis's free throw shooting was not the greatest tonight. But what makes these nights much more palatable is having Damian Lillard. When you think about in the past, and this is not at all to discredit Chris Middleton or certainly Drew Holiday, but it's just different when you have Damian Lillard playing alongside Giannis. On a night where Giannis does not have the shot that he typically does, you know you got a guy that can carry an offense playing right next to him. Not to say that that Drew and Chris couldn't put up some big numbers either. We've seen that. Saw a 50-point game from Drew Holiday last season. We've seen a 50-point game from Chris Middleton in the past. We've seen big shots from both of them in the past. But with Drew especially, you know, on nights where Giannis didn't have it offensively, you just assume this is a night we're going to have to win with our defense. And now when that happens, you've still got Damian Lillard to shoulder a lot of that. And tonight was another big night for Damian Lillard. Two consecutive big offensive performances for Dame. Two straight nights where Dame scores 15 points in the first quarter, scores 20 or more in the first half, and tonight matches his season high, most points scored in a Bucks uniform with 39. Had the rarity of four straight free throws, too, with two double technical fouls. And he missed the first one. Otherwise, we'd be talking about the first 40-point game as a member of the Bucks for Damian Lillard. So I do want to get into a little bit with Giannis and just how incredible this career has been, all of the accolades that he has achieved. And again, adding tonight, number one on the list all time, most rebounds in a Bucks career, Giannis Antetokounmpo. We'll get into that conversation after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
Another big night from Damian Lillard, who matches his season high with 39 points tonight as the Bucks win their first four games of this six-game homestand, taking care of the Rockets tonight, 128-119. And in this game, in the second half, Giannis's 13th rebound moved him into number one on the franchise's all-time rebounds list, moving past Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And look, we kind of tiptoed around the conversation leading up to the NBA Finals. And I think really along the way, even before that, a lot of us started to ponder, I wonder if this is going to become a conversation of, as great as Giannis is, it's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar that we're talking about and some of the things that he did. And the fact that we're still to this point, whereas Giannis picks off some of these honors and accolades and awards, it's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar that he's moving past. And a lot of the NBA-wide things that we can look at. No player in league history has done this since. A lot of the times, those names, no player's done this since Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or Wilt Chamberlain. But I think at this point, Giannis is the greatest player in Bucks franchise history. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar won a championship. He played in two finals with the Bucks. He went on to even more success with the Los Angeles Lakers. He is clearly one of the greatest players in the history of this league. But Giannis has also won a championship. And just what Giannis has done, which you cannot quantify with statistics, for the franchise as a whole, you can make a strong case. Giannis built this arena. Giannis may have saved basketball in Milwaukee and the Bucks and kept this interest here. And Giannis continuing to stay in Milwaukee. I think that's the biggest difference you would point to. And obviously, there's reasons for everything. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar started here. He was a supernova. He requested a trade. He left Milwaukee, played for the Lakers, continued a legendary career. Giannis started here, developed into something, won a championship, and twice now has chose to re-sign and remain in Milwaukee. It's getting harder and harder to say Giannis is not the greatest player in this team's history. As of right now, he is the franchise's all-time leader in games played, in minutes played, in field goals, in field goal attempts. He's nipping at the heels of Kareem in two-point field goals and two-point field goal attempts. I feel it's safe to assume he will not pass Chris Middleton in three-point attempts or three-point makes. But he's the franchise leader as well in free throws, in free throw attempts, in defensive rebounds. Marcus Johnson's still the offensive rebounding leader. And now rebounds, number one in that one. Assists leader, blocks leader, nearly every statistic you can imagine. Triple doubles. Giannis is the franchise's all-time leader, and tonight he added rebounds to that honors list. Again, Marcus Johnson, the all-time leader in offensive rebounds. Giannis has got to catch Marcus Johnson as well. And it's likely going to be this season that he catches Marcus Johnson there. It has been an absolutely incredible career for Giannis Antetokounmpo, and it continues to get better and better. Steals as well. That's another one that within the next year, he's going to move past Paul Pressey, Sidney Moncrief, and Quinn Buckner for number one on that list. And look, there's a very, very real possibility that by the time Giannis retires, every single statistic, individual statistic save for three-pointers, he is going to be number one in franchise history. 855-616-1620, the number to join us. We're going to step aside for one more break. When we come back, we'll take a look at the matchup with the San Antonio Spurs and wrap things up on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Ain't no way they can stop me now.
128-119 final here at Fiserv Forum. The Bucks get past the Houston Rockets. They're 19-7 now on the season. And look, not everything is fixed. This team is still figuring things out. We mentioned the defense, and they made some subtle growth there. You still need to continue to make growth. I said you shoot for just a little bit better than league average. That's not where you want to sit at. If you can get it to that going into the playoffs and say, we know we can continue to build on this and get better, that's what you're shooting for. But if we go back a couple of weeks and we think about some of the conversations that we're hearing, not internally, but the external conversations that were taking place about this team, it's hard to believe this is the same group that we're talking about. And you can criticize and nitpick and pick apart the Bucks' schedule and say, well, who have they really played? You played the Boston Celtics, you lost. Played the Indiana Pacers three times now. Pacers, I'm not saying a cute story Pacers team, but are the Pacers one of the elite teams in the league? Their offense certainly is as a team. Their defense is not. They're going to be an interesting team to monitor, but still, you're 1-2 against the Pacers. You have beaten the 76ers in the only game you played against them. There haven't been a whole lot of these types of tests. You beat the Knicks twice. Knicks have been right up there in the top six in the Eastern Conference. You beat the Miami Heat twice. And you beat the Dallas Mavericks, who at the time that you play them were one of the best teams in the Western Conference. But you've had a lot of games against opponents like the Detroit Pistons. This Houston Rockets team, just the third Western Conference team you played, but they're a playoff team. You have not reeled off a high volume of games against the elite teams. You lost to the Magic, who are fourth in the Eastern Conference. You haven't had a high volume of games against those elite teams, top three in each of their conferences. That will change in the second half of the season. But to me, the important thing is these games that you have now, you're winning them. You're beating teams you should be beating consistently now at this point. And as that schedule gets more difficult, especially that last month of the season, when you think about a stretch the Bucks have, as that schedule gets more difficult, the thought and the hope is that by then, this growth, this gelling, this chemistry that we've touched on, that's all in place. So when your schedule gets to be at its peak and the tough spots appear, this is a much better and a much different team. So I do think it's very fortuitous for the Bucks to have the schedule shake out the way that it has. But I also think it's a misnomer to say the Bucks have played a bad schedule or a soft schedule. Hasn't been the toughest. I'm not trying to argue that. But it's been a lot of teams that are right around the playoff team. It hasn't been packed with teams that are bottom dwellers. Hasn't been full of teams that are at the top of their conference. It's been those teams that are right there in the creamy center that the Bucks have really filled up their schedule with. Now, that is not going to be the case on Tuesday. When Victor Wembanyama and the San Antonio Spurs come to town, it is a Spurs team that have lost 19 of their last 20 games. And had they not beat the Lakers on Friday night, it would be a Spurs team after their loss today and annihilation at the hands of the New Orleans Pelicans. It would be a Spurs team that entered Milwaukee on a 20-game losing streak. I don't know how many times in the history of this league that a team has had two games in a couple of day stretch against teams on 20-game losing streaks. But the Bucks nearly had that. So this should be another get-right, take-care-of-business game, and more importantly, another game where you win it, and you see if you can boost some of those numbers as well. Continue to take some steps forward on the defensive side of the ball. But it's the Bucks and the Spurs. Our first look at Wemby on Tuesday night. That is a 7 o'clock tip here inside of Fiserv Forum. 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. There's going to be a lot of excitement around that one. The first look at Victor Wembanyama. Another double-double tonight. And especially seeing those moments of Victor Wembanyama matched up against Giannis. We will see that on Tuesday night. Again, 7 o'clock tip, 6:30 start time. And Bucks Talk immediately after the game. We will talk to you Tuesday night, recapping the Bucks and the Spurs on Bucks Talk.